I'm really encouraged by two things. Number one, let me share three parts first, then the message. All right, I'll try to kind of hasten things along. I'm going to share blessings, faith, God's blessings, and then number one, I want to just thank God that He's faithful. Amen. He's just faithful. And look at all your lives here. As a pastor, I observe. As a shepherd, I watch. And I see God's faithfulness in your lives. Even though sometimes we don't have to say much, but you know, one thing I learned when my children was going through the accelerated Christian education, one of the things in the paces they learned that the high priests of Israel actually wears the 12 tribes of Israel in the breastplate. Okay, that's a symbol of the fact that God commands the high priest to have all the tribes of Israel on their hearts. And that's something I try to do. And to see God working in your life, that's the most powerful thing. Yeah, you may not have to tell me everything, but you know, looking at your lives as you worship, as you serve, it's an encouragement to know that God is faithful to His own children. Number one. Number two, I want to thank God for every member's faithfulness as well. And many of you do things quietly on the back. Many of you don't even tell. But somehow it just comes to my ears, and it's a strong encouragement that God has been touching our hearts to be faithful. Looking around across the room, every single one, sometimes even including the visitors, has been an encouragement to us through the small just efforts of service, making things nice for people, is an encouragement of God's blessings and His faithfulness. Okay? Let me just highlight also two challenges for our church this week, this year. I believe very much in the principle that Jesus Christ wants us to occupy till He comes. And that is something that should be on every Christian's heart. The challenges we have are two areas. One is the ministry needs, okay? And that's why I'm so thankful for people who just jump in. There were people who, in the VBS, for example, for a lack of people, so I mentioned, I think Felicia, I think he may have gone home there. Even with a baby, she would actually be here to do. I'm not saying other people not doing, but it just blesses a pastor's heart that someone will stand in a gap for that need. And as a result, children were blessed. Okay? And the work could still go on. And a child got saved and attended church here. And she's just down the road at Sembawang. We're thankful for that, that these are the little processes that happen that sometimes we just have to step in where we need to so that God can actually bless. Okay, many of you went out of your way to do the work. And I want to say this, God has given to us a lot of things that many churches do not have. And I believe very much that as you work in the direction that God wants us to go, it's not going to be easy because God is going to bring people into our lives that will challenge our hearts and our beliefs. What we believe is what God says. Okay, and some of you who have been through the years, we have very challenging personalities that have come to our church. Okay, and we are still having challenging personalities that have come to our church. But you know what? If the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lord of this church, He would want those personalities to come because He loves them. Okay, and we have our share of people who come with backgrounds and stuff that we really need God's grace and strength to minister to. And so, we need to be aware that there is a high need for people to be involved. And we're thankful for the people involved. The other thing is, as a church, we need to be very honest about the fact that I'm not very good with details and processes, all right? I just want to highlight the challenges. So sometimes, as pastor, I do fail in terms of I need a last-minute help. And because sometimes things can't be planned in advance. And one of the things, I don't know whether you're understanding what I'm saying, but sometimes things have to be done last minute. By God's grace, 2016 will be a change. We want to plan ahead, but we need more people to be on board so that they can actually put together the processes. I'm very, very grateful for brethren who will just jump in and just, okay, no problem, pastor, I'll take care of that. I don't want that to happen. We need to be a well-oiled church for God because we're serving God. And we need to be well-oiled in that. There's some of the processes that we need to work on. Two directions for the new year. One is actually care of the brethren. And this is something that we'll talk about. But I mentioned on the 27th during the Lord's Supper and the food, it's how we need to be worshipful Christians before we become workers of Christ. In other words, God must be in our hearts before we start worshipping Him. But you know what? Looking around, we all have our challenges, like Brother Henry was mentioning. And by the way, the Bible already promises that in the world ye shall have tribulation. None of us here can say that we are exempt from that. Okay? It's always good to focus on the positive in the trials. It's always good to focus. That's why God says, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are beautiful, focus on these things. Why? Because you know that if you focus on the bad things, it will get us down. And that's why the Lord Jesus, even in His instruction, commands us to think on these things. Okay? Number one is for how to actually enhance that. As a church, we need to care for one another more. Because Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's one. Another big direction for next year is the move. Okay? We have had many, over the years, the challenge to move, people are still giving to the building fund, even up to today. I sometimes look through. I want to ask to pray collectively for the move, because we need a bigger place. We really need a bigger place. The children will say amen, you know. You know, sitting down there, and I'm sitting up there just now, and it's hot. And we need a place that every one of us can, you know, one of my heart is for all of us to be counselors, that when things happen and when people need to be counseled, we can actually find a room to go and counsel them and to work with them. Okay? I want all of us to be praying with regards to the move. Okay, specifically. Our lease actually runs out in June. Okay, the summer is on the team. If anyone else wants to join the team of the move, all right, please let us know. They are just professional real estate agents and they're church members, and they're willing to lend their time and to use their expertise to help us. So do pray along with that. Just in the direction of the mood, those of us who know, we had two Christians who bought a place for us. I think I mentioned, for those who were not here, just want to mention to them that if I'm not wrong, they have managed to get someone to buy the place, all right, at Woodlands 11. Okay, but one of the owners still has the heart to say, whatever I have, I'll still help the church to get a place. Okay, we've not worked out the details yet, but you know what, it's a blessing from God that a believer still wants to help us to actually have a permanent place that we can call our own, that we can minister to people. All right, so that's something that I want us to take note of. All right, so this is end of the year. Let me just give you a challenge from God's word. All right, let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 17. I'm very monotonous, I'm sorry. But hopefully with the book of Luke chapter 17, it'll be a challenge for us. Let's stand as we just read. I'll try not to take too long. But Luke chapter 17, today's theme is faith in gratefulness. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more in this particular passage. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 and 19, 2:19, okay? I'll start 11, you start 12, verse 12. All right? Sorry, there's no chapel, children. I'm the chapel today, so you have to listen. Okay? But it'll be short, all right? And after that, we will actually have... Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Verse 12. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 16. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 18.
There are no found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.
Let's read together verse 19. "And he said unto him,
Arise, go thy way.
Thy faith has made thee whole." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, help us to see how we can have faith in the thanksgiving that we have. For Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will energize us and empower us and encourage us today. If there's someone with something in their hearts that only you can deal with, Lord, we know that all the things, Lord, that we've seen in the many testimonies, Father, the brethren, myself, and whoever that's involved in ministry, Lord, we are just your instruments through which your mercy and grace and strength can flow. And by our words, our testimony, we can be an encouragement to someone. I pray, Lord, that we will be like this Samaritan in the new year. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, I think many of us would know of this story. Okay, it is a story. It's not a parable. It's a story of the 10 lepers. Sorry. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ one time was walking through, going from Samaria, Jerusalem, and as he passed the midst of Samaria and Galilee, okay, he went into a certain village and there were 10 men. These 10 men were lepers. Okay, not leopards. Okay, they're lepers. Okay, lepers. And leprosy is actually a very dreaded disease during that time. No one has been healed in the history of Israel. Did you know that? And some of you say, no, Brother Johnny, there's Naaman. Sorry, Naaman was a Syrian. He wasn't a Jew. Okay? And so for all the time, no one was healed of leprosy until when Jesus Christ came. So when the 10 lepers were there, it was a disease classified as a living death during that time. During the time when the 10 lepers saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they must have heard what Jesus did with some diseased people, which actually encouraged them. Firstly, they need to do the right thing. Lepers cannot get in touch with the normal common people. They must be at least 100 meters away from a person who is not infected. Okay? And when they walk near someone or someone walks close to them, when they have a disease, they're supposed to say what? Unclean, unclean. They're supposed to shout. So in this situation, the 10 lepers saw Jesus, knew who he was, shouted 100 meters away, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You study the word Jesus, referring to what? The Messiah? Master, referring to the Lord. He said, Lord, you're my Savior, my Lord, have mercy on us. We're in a condition that no one else can deal with, but we have heard that you can. Lord, help us. They acknowledged Jesus at that time. And the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, said to them, go show yourself unto the priests. Go show yourself unto the priests. Under Jewish law, they knew what they had to do. Okay? When you have leprosy, you will actually go to the priest. And there was Levitical law in the Old Testament to show you whether you actually have leprosy or not. And once you have leprosy, you are put out of society. Because God wants to protect the rest of society so that there will be no mass infection. Okay? The problem with leprosy is two ways. Number one, it's a living death. There is no cure at that time. Number two, you become a social outcast. And many times in Jewish writings, it's known as a living death. Because your family will separate from you. You live in a leper colony all by yourself. You're isolated. You're socially outcast. You cannot get a job. You all depend on welfare. Okay? But at that time, the 10 people shouted for Jesus. And after they heard, Jesus says, go to the priests. Go show yourself to the priests. They heard it. They were obedient to it. And they went. And the Bible says, interestingly, in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said, then go show yourself to the priest. Came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Notice the process. Jesus spake. They went. Then they were cleansed. Jesus spake, they obeyed, then they were cleansed. This is a common principle of Scripture. Jesus spake, we obey, and then the blessings come. Does it make sense? Okay? Do your homework. Someone obeys, go to do homework, then the ice cream comes. Roger, children? Yes? Sit down, listen to the message first, then you can go and play chapel. Understand? Children? Okay? But you know, but that is the principle of Scripture. That's the principle of Scripture. Did you know that when the Israelites, before they went to the Promised Land, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant had to step first before the River Jordan opened? Jesus spake, you obeyed, then the blessings will come. And so he did, and so they all went. In verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. No, in this passage, before we go on to this man, we see a few things. Number one, we see the compassion of Christ. Our Christ, our Savior, is all compassion. Amen. 100% full. No sugar added. All right, he is 100% compassion. Nothing added. He is just pure 100% love. To the point that we can always depend on him. When we need him, he is always there. Would you agree with me? Those of you who have a relationship with Christ, those of you who are Christians, you will never doubt that our Savior, whenever you call on him, he is always, always there. He will never change. But also we see not only his compassion, we see his power. He sees his power because he merely told them to show himself to the priest. They were healed. Go, show yourself to the priest. And as they go, they were healed. Now, the only example of healing in the Bible is Naaman. Naaman was leprosy. You know what's leprosy? You know what's leprosy? When leprosy, basically, your skin doesn't look very good. It's really very horrible. But when Naaman obeyed whose words? Which prophet? Children? Elisha's words to dip himself 7 times, the Bible says the skin of Elisha became like the skin of Emma. You know Emma? Like that of a little baby. Soft, tender. It's as if he's just born again, you know, literally. And so I'm sure the 10 lepers, as they went, it's like, what's happening to me? The Bible says as they went, their skins get changed. And the Bible says they saw that they were cleansed. No, I was just reflecting on what to share. Well, watch now. You know, we've just heard the many blessings of God. And through the testimony, I'm sure all of us have some lesson points in our hearts that we took from these blessings. But you know, the real point in this passage is not so much the compassion of Christ, but on the heart of the recipient. For Jesus to heal, it is commonplace. It is natural. Would you agree? Or he can do it anytime. He can do it with his eyes closed. Literally. Because he's God. When Jesus taught this, it wasn't to focus on the fact that Jesus had compassion and power. It was to focus on this one man. Okay, let's look at verse 15. The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. You know, out of the 10 that received the blessings of God, only one came back. Why do you think that person came back to Christ? Why did he, with a loud voice, glorify God? Oh, it's one word that comes to your mind. What is one word that comes to your mind? Just being grateful. And if you look at the commentators, the study of the scriptures, the plain teaching of scripture is God wants us to learn to be grateful for the blessings that God gives to us. For the 10 lepers, you know, sorry, but when this particular person saw, he perceived, he understood. You know what did this one leper understood? When he was healed, when he realized that the physical condition of his life was going to change forever, when he realized that God has given his life back to him, not just to heal the leprosy, he says, God, you not only healed my leprosy, you gave me my life back. The Bible says when he saw, the word saw has the idea of understood, when he perceived what is happening. The Bible says he turned back. You see, for the 9 lepers, God healed them. When they cried to him in their distress, God in his mercy and power healed them of their diseases and gave them a new life. Just like a person who goes to the doctor who is sick, the doctor says, take this prescription or do this operation, he's fine. What do we do? How many of you, after you see the doctor, you're fine, you say, oh, thank you, doctor, you're so good, you know. How many of us do that? When you see a doctor, you just say, well, thank God, I'm healed, right? I'm healed, thank God. I'm better, thank God. Who's the focus? I do not doubt that we give thanks for our healing, but you know, when we thank God for our healing, when we say, thank God for my healing, thank God for all the things, is it focused on myself? And I'm just adding God to it. Say, oh yeah, by the way, thank God. Because I'm a Christian, you know, thank God. I do not doubt the sincerity of many Christians even tonight. I see the reality of faith. And that is the key that Jesus is focusing on here. Because it is unfortunate that many times when we receive the blessing of God, we thank him and just go right on our merry ways. Okay? The Lord Jesus said something very interesting in verse number 19. I wanted to focus on four questions, but I said, no, too long. But I focused on one. Jesus said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. You know, that is significance. The rest were made whole by the power of Christ. Listen to this, this is very important. The rest were made whole by the power of Christ. When in their distress they call out to God to help, God intervenes. Many times for Christians, we out of our distress, we call out to God, God intervenes, we thank God. Okay? But do you realize there's another level that Jesus wants us to reach? What does that mean? You see, in this situation, the nine lepers were made whole by the power of God, but the one leper was made whole by his faith. You see a difference? You see a difference? Because Jesus says, thy faith, they made thee whole. Your faith. It is your faith, my friend. The leper, you are made whole. Go your way. Be joyful. Your faith has made thee whole. When we say, I'm promoted, thank God, I'm blessed, thank God, the focus sometimes is just ourselves, because the real outcome is what happens after that. Is our life really changed? Will 2016 be different for those people who have shared their testimony? Will their life take a different direction simply because they have seen how God has intervened in their lives and how 2016 has to be different? Oh, God has blessed me, I'll just go on my merry way. And I believe that is what exactly happened to the nine lepers. I'm not saying we are that, but I think tonight is a good night to reflect. That Lord, when you bless me in 2015, is my life going to change like this leper? Okay? Did God's goodness in 2015 change us to be more and more like Christ, to be more humble, to be more hardworking for his ministry? For his bread, are we more devoted to his word because of certain things that God has done for us? No, I'm really blessed by the brethren. I know, seeing the people going out on tracking and all that, but there are five things in 2016. What are some evidences of faith that this Samaritan have that we can put in our lives in 2016? Number one, he realized his healing was from God. He realized, point number one, in verse 15, the Bible says that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he saw, he realized, look, this is from God. This is from God. You know, when Jeremiah shared, it's a pass for his driving. And then, of course, I was at a coffee shop. I said, woo! You know, and of course, no one looked at me. But then I just, in my heart, was just thanking God for his grace. His pass was all grace. And when we recognize that the blessings that you had, the fact that you're still alive tonight, you realize it's all God. You could have been like, you know, and Sister Summer shared with me that it was her classmate that passed away in the crash. You know, it's such a blessing that we're still alive. Amen. It's all grace. And I've always learned that if I'm still around, God still has a plan. In other words, I'm not going to get away yet. My time is not up yet. It's 9 to 5. My 5 is not reached yet. There's still some work to be done. You know, he realized, think back to the last time when you had a healing or when you had a blessing. What was your immediate reaction? What was your immediate reaction? When was the last time God blessed you? What was the last time? What was your first reaction to that? Our reaction need to be like this leper. We need to realize, hey, the blessing of a promotion, the blessing of a job well done, the blessing of safety is of God. You know, one of the things that we need to have, how many of you actually pause and thank God immediately to praise Him? You know, this might be a bit far-fetched, but may not be in our thinking and experience. When the English Christians came from England to America, you know what's the first thing they did on the Mayflower when they touched down? All of them knelt down and thanked God for the new land they were going to live in. When their ship sailed and they landed on the coast of USA, the English Christians to run away from persecution back home, the first thing they did was they raised up their hand, thank God for the new land they had and for the safety they had. We need to realize all the blessings we have is from God, okay? This is what the Samaritan did. He did not just receive the gift. He actually had the giver in his mind. Did you get that? He didn't just receive the healing. He had the giver in his mind. Because the Bible says he saw that he was healed, number one. Number two, what did he do? Point number two, he returned to God. He returned to God with gratitude. The Bible says in verse number 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He gave thanks. Let me ask you, where was the man going? Where did Jesus tell him to go? To the priest. He was on his way. Do you know what's going to happen at the priest's? He was going to get his certification to get back into society, yes? Okay? What would the certification do for him? After he go there, the priest certified that he's healed, he gets his certificate, he say, "Whoa, I can drive already." No, I can live in society now free. Last time I used to be isolated, now I can have a job. I can have everything I want. What did he do? The Bible said when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. You know what I saw in that? He realized the source of his healing. He put on hold his goals and said, "The first thing I need to do is to go thank my God. Go thank my God." You know, it's so easy for us to get a promotion and just be blessed and say, "Hey, thank God," and we just go on in our merry way. You know, we need to just turn back. Turn back from the direction that we want. You know, when we have been blessed, we have all been blessed in different ways. But you know, the key thing is when God has blessed us, are we turned back or drawn back to Him in every blessing? In every blessing God gives us, even in simple friendship, even in the simple things of life, even when things go wrong, God is still there. It's not the song that was sung. God is still there. Even in the things go wrong, God is still there. Do we at least thank Him? "Lord, thank You that You are still here with me. You will never abandon me." That's a promise from God. Okay, we need to return to God with gratitude. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, how many know that verse? "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you who are in Christ Jesus." Question, do you know why God gives it as a command? "In everything, give thanks." Why do you think God, do you realize it's a command? It's in the Greek imperative. It's actually a command. "In everything, give thanks." Do you know why? Because God knows that if you put your face or eyes on the failures, what's going to do? It's going to pull you down all the way. So God says, lift up your head. When you give thanks to who? Give thanks to God. In everything that you're going through, lift your eyes. Say, "God, good or bad, I give you praise." You know, we can make mistakes. God don't. And when we put our faith in God, God can even turn our mistakes into jewels for His crown. That's why we have such a great God. You know, you may have failures in your 2015. Joanna was just sharing with me what she's learned. And, you know, she's saying you need to put your past. What? Put your past in the? Put your past in the hands of your Savior. Who knows your past? And He can use your past to direct your future, amen? Only Christ can. The demoniac, he was a demoniac all his life. When he met Jesus, his life was changed, revolutionized. All the disciples, some of them were poor fishermen. When they met Jesus Christ, their life changed. When they put it in their lives. Peter, I always use this, was Judas Iscariot or Peter a bigger traitor? Who was a bigger traitor? Was Peter a bigger traitor compared to Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot had no heart for Jesus. He was only concerned about money. Peter had a love for Jesus. Who was a bigger traitor? One who says, "I will never deny you." Who was a bigger traitor? Judas had never vowed his allegiance to God. You know what? Can I say this? Probably in the heart of Peter, he was very broken because he was too impulsive with his words. But you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ sees that He still loves him. And so He challenged, "Do you still love me?" John chapter 21. Do you realize Peter said, "Look, Lord, I do love you, but I blew it." No. Our Lord can take any broken piece and put it back. But we've got to come back to God and give thanks. Because when we give thanks in everything, we are lifting our eyes off our situation and put it onto God. Okay? And that's when we keep our eyes on Him. He can make the change. Okay? Number two. Number three, he went back. He returned to God with gratitude. But number three, the Bible says he magnified God with a loud voice. He glorified God. What does that mean? What does loud voice do? Your LOL, right? A lot of people say LOL, right? LOL. I cannot stand that word, but I don't know why it's always here. LOL, you know, LOL. LOL, what is LOL? Laugh out loud, you know. What does loud do? Loud supersedes everything. When you speak loudly, the people who speak the loudest wins, right? You know what this guy did? Basically, when he realized he was healed, he turned back, and the Bible says, literally, we were screaming, like, thank you, God. And he was just on and on about thanking God for his healing. You know what I learned from there? He gave glory to God. He magnified God. He glorified God. In other words, after the blessing of God, he realized his healing was from God. He returned to God. He magnified God. In other words, no longer is I important, it's God that's important. In other words, he says, he no longer say I am healed, he said God healed me. He's putting God first. He no longer say I was promoted, he said God gave me the promotion. It's all God. And his life, God becomes number one priority. Because with a loud voice, glorified God. And perhaps, maybe he was trying to encourage the other night, hey, come back, please, you know, you need to, hello, you haven't thanked this guy yet. You know, I don't know. But with a loud voice, he was glorifying God. And Luke, in chapter 7, there was a story of a sinner, a woman of sin, literally a harlot. The Bible says he came into Simon the Pharisee's house, which a harlot will not do because the Pharisee will not get involved with someone who is in sin, a harlot. But this lady began to pour ointment on Jesus' feet, even though she knew she would be rejected or people may even look down on him. Yes, she did it. Why? Because she loved the Lord. When was the last time you did something simply because you loved Jesus? Or gave something because God blessed you? When was the last time you literally said, Lord, this is of you. I've got to do something in return for your goodness towards me. Now for him, he magnified God. God became the focus on his life. Let me ask you, is Christ the focus of your life when God has blessed you? In Luke chapter 7, verse 50, do you know what Jesus said to him? And he said to the woman, thy faith have saved thee. Exactly what he said to the leper. You know, one of the things I've learned from these two passages is God will bless us. But God will, that's him. But how we respond in faith to the blessing, it will change us. Because when we realize it is God who blessed us, and God, I need to put on hold what I think and turn my back and put you on the focus and pedestal, that's when our lives begin to change. Listen to this. Faith inwardly produces a response outwardly that is recognized by God and approved by Him. These were sinners. These were people who had no hope in life. But when they came to Jesus and put Him first, Jesus elevated them and said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. All right? You know, one of the things I saw also, where was this leper? Where was this leper? The Bible says in verse 6, he fell down on his face at his feet. As a leper, you do not have the privilege of proximity with a person who has no leprosy. You have to say unclean. But where was this person? He was in close proximity with Christ. You know, he drew near to God. He drew near to God. Every blessing you feel should draw you close to God. You have to. If all we say is, well, thank God I have a bonus, that God blessed me, but our response is just the same as response to our boss. We just get our bonus, thank you, boss, you know, and we go our merry ways. Our blessing ought to change us. It ought to draw closer and closer us closer to Christ. Okay? Does our blessing draw us closer to God, to worship, to serve Him, to give to Him, to honor Him? One last point before I close. The phrase Jesus says, arise, go thy way. I used to think this arise, go thy way in verse 19, he said, go, you're free, go. Oh, shush, go away, go. You know, go, you're free, go. No. Where was he going before that? He was going to the priest. You know what was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, remember initially he says, go to the priest and show yourself, right? Then after he came back, right? You know what Jesus says after the whole scene? Arise, go thy way. Go and do what you knew you needed to do in the first place. The arise and go thy way is not an indication, go and live up your own life. Go and fulfill the obligations under the Mosaic law for your healing of the leprosy, and then ensure you walk in the straight and narrow way after that. Does it make sense? Arise, go your way implies what? Obedience to Christ. Every blessing needs to draw us closer to Christ, that our hearts will say, Lord, what do you want to do? Arise, go your way. You know, a person who has been changed by Christ in the mind will never want to go his own way. Remember what Paul did? What's the first question he asked God when he got saved? What would thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? You know what? Let me just say this. We all thank God for our blessings. How many of us actually commit ourselves to Him after that? Think about that for a while. And I believe that is the nature of Luke chapter 17. That this leper, when he was healed, this healing is from God. I need to stop. Yes, I know I'm going to be free. I'm going to have my life back. I'm going to be able to go back to my family. I now can have a job. I can even have a wife. I can even have Emma. I mean, I have a child, you know. Now I can live life. Now I won't be socially ostracized. But wait, all this is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to put what I want on hold and go to Him first. And then the Lord Jesus says, arise, go. Go thy way. Because the Lord says, thy faith. Because as a result of the blessing, you have put faith in your gratefulness, then our lives can change for 2016. Then you will see the relevance of reading the Bible on a daily basis, because you are communicating with the one who wants to tell you what you need to do in life. You're communicating with one who constantly wants to bless you. Do you realize our Heavenly Father wants to bless us more than we ask for His blessings? Just like every father here who constantly thinks of a direction or try to provide for their children, God stands ready to bless us. Okay? We're going to be going to 2016 soon. My question for us is, how many of us will be changed more and more into the likeness of Christ? Getting rid of our own thinking and replacing it with the mind of Christ. Whenever we receive a blessing in 2016, every time you know God has blessed you, do three things. Number one, stop whatever you're doing and thank God immediately in prayer for it. Would you do that? In 2016, maybe you get a bonus, maybe you get a praise from your boss and you know he encourages you, or maybe a brethren encouraged you, maybe a blessing came into your life. Stop what you're doing, maybe for half a minute, Lord, thank you. And tell you, when you have a consciousness of God, that in all your blessings that you have is actually from Him, it will change your life. Because no longer do you think it's your strength, but it's God. Number one. Number two, after you've thanked God, do something for God to show your gratitude to Him. Do something to show your gratitude to God. Okay? And number three, just be obedient to Him to show your love. Do you realize when you realize that you owe your life and existence and blessings to God, it will be very easy to be obedient to Him. Why? Because it's all out of love. It's all love. Alright? Hopefully that challenged us. Let's have a word of prayer. Then I'll pass it back to Brother Song. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. People have just been quietly listening. Oh Lord, these are your words, and we learn from the leper in the Bible. Father, I liken him to all the brethren who have given thanks. And I believe deep down in their hearts, Lord, you have touched them in ways that only they know because of their personal relationship with you. And I pray for us individually as well. I believe, Lord, many of us have had times that we looked at what you have done for us and we're so thankful. We're just so thankful. And Father, there could be failures, there could be stumbling. But Father, even in those, when we place it in the hand of the Savior, Lord, just like a child who had a broken aeroplane in his hand, and maybe with tears, In his eyes, he brings a broken aeroplane to Lord, your hands. You are able to put that broken aeroplane back. Heavenly Father, we tonight as we give thanks, as we are grateful, help us like this leper to put faith in it, to go to you in our hearts. That Father, it is not just a matter of cause, not just my hard work. It's all grace. It's all you. It's all your strength for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're going to do. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask, is there anyone who said, Pastor, pray for me that God will help me in 2016 to put faith in every blessing that I see? Is there someone there? Amen, I see some hands. Amen, I see the hands. Put up, put it down, and pray. And tell God your heart. Amen, I see even young 13-year-olds. Is there someone else? All right, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for these brethren who put up their hands. Lord, even for a child as young as 13, putting up their hands. I pray, Lord, that they will see your blessing your presence, your faith in every blessing. The Lord, everything that you allow them to achieve, they will pause and give you thanks. Everything that has happened to them, they will pause and give you thanks. Why? Because you commanded us to, because we want to. Lord, we believe that you have a plan for us in 2016. The people that are here, I believe you want us to turn our eyes towards Christ more than our situations. Heavenly Father, we know that with you all things are possible. As we continue, Lord, in our time tonight, I pray the blessings will continue to flow, our hearts will be lifted up. I pray for these brethren once again. Empower them, Lord, to know faith in the blessings that you will show them. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.